The European pilgrims, when they came to the New World, set aground at Plymouth Rock on December 11th, 1620, almost 400 years ago. And their first winter was devastating. They were weakened by the seven-week crossing across the Atlantic. They needed to establish housing and didn't have any. They came down with pneumonia and consumption, and they began to die. First, it was one a day, then two a day, sometimes even three a day died. They dug the graves at night so that the Indians would not see how fast their numbers were dwindling. And at one point, there were only seven persons healthy enough to fetch the wood, keep the fires, and care for the sick. By the spring, they had lost 46 of the original 102 who sailed on the Mayflower. The pilgrims obviously needed some help, and it came from an English-speaking member of the Wampanoag Nation. Probably didn't pronounce that right. His name was Squanto. And Squanto decided to stay with the pilgrims for a couple months. And he taught them how to survive. He brought them food and skins, taught them how to cultivate new vegetables and how to build casinos. Oh, I'm sorry. Indian-style houses. He educated the pilgrims on poisonous plants, medicine, the sap from maple trees, fish as fertilizer, and dozens of other skills that they would need to survive in this new world. And the harvest of 1621 that next year was a bountiful one. And remaining colonists decided that they should have a feast. You know, with so much focus, I think especially this year, on shopping, they're even opening up now on Thanksgiving Day. If you do that, I'll see you in the confessional. It's really easy to start secularizing Thanksgiving. And it is a secular holiday. It is a holiday for the United States, not for the church. But its origin, and our country's origin, is in God. One historian said about these pilgrims, his name is Jean Craighead George, said that they left Europe, quote, to seek their fortune in the New World, end quote. But the pilgrims would be very surprised to hear this, because in William Bradford's diary, one of those 102 who came over on the Mayflower, he wrote this, that their journey was motivated by, quote, a great hope for advancing the kingdom of Christ, end quote. December 18th, 1777, was the first time that all 13 colonies celebrated Thanksgiving. And the purpose of their gathering was so that, quote, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor. This Thanksgiving, there will be much to be grateful for. But I ask you, what are you grateful for? Who are you grateful to? And how do you show that thanksgiving? St. Thomas Aquinas, the famous theologian, said that there are three parts to offering thanksgiving. The first is the recognition of the gift. You see, as Christians, the first thing we have to recognize is that we are not self-made. We didn't originate on our own. That every gift comes from God. Even if you incorporate modern theories of evolution, ones that are compatible with creationism, there still has to be an origin, a source of life, an unmoved mover, an order, and that is God. And guys, I think it's something particularly part of our mindset here in the United States that we have to be self-sufficient, you know, that we have to do everything ourselves. But for a Christian, It doesn't start with us. It starts upstairs with the source of blessing. Our catechism, number 222, says, believing in God, the only one, the loving and loving him with all our being has enormous consequences for our whole life. It means living in thanksgiving. If God is the only one, everything we are and have comes from him. And this is exactly a reflection of 1 Corinthians 4, which says, what have you that you did not receive? Name one thing you have that you did not receive. Second step that St. Thomas says that we have to do in order to have thanksgiving is honoring the one who gave the gift. Now, whenever I had a birthday or at Christmas, my mother would make me write thank you notes to everyone. And I can remember wanting to play with my toy, and I could not play with my toy until I'd written the thank you note to the one who gave it to me. That's torture. I love you, Mom. You know, many times we do not honor the one who gave us the gift because I think sometimes we misuse the gift. Teenagers, one of the temptations at your age is perhaps to abuse the freedom that your parents give you, to go out and do things that you weren't able to do before. Many of you as parents have had the experience of giving your child a toy, but having them misuse it, like crushing their brother or sister's head with it. Some of you young people have had the experience of playing the Xbox or the Wii or the PS3 too long, and then it gets taken away, doesn't it? Why? Because you've misused the gift. Spider-Man said, with great power comes great responsibility, and similarly, with any great gift comes great responsibility, especially the gift of this life. For us as adults, often we misuse God's gift of intimacy, or we misuse the resources he's given us, or we waste time that he has given us. Honoring the one who gave the gift means using it according to its designed purpose. Lastly, St. Thomas says that we must desire somehow to make a return. If we're truly thankful, we recognize where the gift came from. We've honored the one from whom it came, but we also want to make a return to the one who gave it. It's kind of like saying to God, or to one another, you've done something for me, now I want to do something for you. And you know what? This is really easy, I find, when we feel blessed, right? When we feel like God is just showering blessings on us, we want to do nothing but praise him for it. But what about the times when we feel like God's dumping on us? When we feel the weight of the world on us? St. John of Avila says, one act of thanksgiving when things go wrong is worth 1,000 thanks when things are agreeable to our inclination. The Catechism says, every joy and suffering, every event and need can become the matter for thanksgiving, which sharing in that of Christ should fill one's whole life. 1 Thessalonians 5, give thanks in all circumstances. You know what I've found in my own spiritual life, guys, is that it's specifically kneeling down and giving thanks to God when I'm at my worst, when I don't feel like being thankful, when I feel the weight of the world on me, that it's exactly what helps me get through the trial. I want to thank this opportunity as we approach Thanksgiving to let you know how thankful I am for you my parishioners. I don't always get a clear vision of myself objectively, kind of standing outside myself. But I know at least that you've supported a brand new pastor, a first-time pastor. You don't jump on me too much when I make mistakes. You're responsive when I ask for needs in the parish. I'm thankful for your faithful and sacrificial stewardship. I know many of you struggle with stewardship. It's not easy. You juggle a lot of things in your life, taking kids this way and that, working two or three jobs. And yet you come and fulfill your responsibilities here in this church. Some of you are barely making ends meet financially, and yet you faithfully tithe. You know, your stewardship has got a lot of recognition around town. Last month at the clergy conference, I had priest after priest coming up to me, telling me that they have parishioners coming up to them, talking about what's going on at Christ the King. And the bishop himself has been impressed. And so I thank you. I'm thankful for your friendships and the blessing that you are to me, and I hope that I can return that to you. This Thanksgiving, as our society already begins to focus on getting gifts and giving gifts to one another, I pray that you may recognize first where every gift, good gift comes from, that you may honor the one who has given those gifts to you, that you may honor him by returning not just a single gift, but the gift of your very life to him. I pray that you may live in thanksgiving.